We are going to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Amen. Hebrews, chapter number 12. We are on lesson 5, week 10. And there is yet a long ways to go. And the Lord has been so good to us. Praise God. One verse of scripture, Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 14. And he said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. And so we are talking about the inner man. And now, the crazy thing about this is when I started putting all of this together, I had the inner man done in two lessons. And, in two lessons, so in 2 weeks. Well, this is week 4. And we just got to the start of lesson 2. And so we still got a ways to go. But I do want to be thorough. And I think that a lot of it is because that we need understanding. We need revelation. We need completeness. Holiness isn't really a subject that you can just touch and move on, because holiness is God. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so we have talked about that. And so we're going to talk about the inner man again tonight. And we want the Lord to help us here today. Would you just help me pray? Father, we love you. God, we come before you tonight. We need you tonight. We need you more than anything in this entire world. We need your spirit. We need your help. We need your word, O Lord Jesus, to live amongst us. We need you today. I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord God, that we not only would have ears to hear, God, but that we would have a heart to receive it. We would have a spirit, God, to act upon it. God, touch us today, and we'll be quick to give you the praise and the glory and all of the honor. In the lovely name of Jesus, in the lovely name of Jesus, praise God, praise God, praise God. Why don't you just lift your voice and give him praise tonight? Thank you, Lord. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. We have been meticulously working through the subject of holiness. We first began to talk early September. We began to talk about the pursuit of being a Christian. And more than anything, I want to be a Christian. Praise God. I want to be a Christian. Amen. If we were to take a little bit and look at this, we would say, you know, what did Jesus ascribe to be? Did he ascribe to be an apostolic, or did he ascribe to be a Pentecostal? Well, the answer is that he ascribed to be who he was, and God manifest in the flesh. But the Bible taught us that they were first called Christians in Antioch. In other words, they were Christ-like. In everything that they did, they were Christ-like. And that is who that I want us to be. I believe that's what God wants us to be. God wants us to be like him. Amen. He was our example. Lesson 2, we got into knowing the heart of God and to knowing our heart. And we took time to get into the place of where that Bible teaches us that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We know that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But in that lesson, we're trying to figure out who that God was or God is. And we saw that this man, Christ Jesus, that when he took his disciples away to a place to rest, and knowing that they had toiled and they had been weary all the night long. And so he said, let's go away and to rest. The multitudes, they followed him to the tune of some probably close to 10,000. But we know that there was 5,000 men plus women and children. And needing to rest, he would wind up teaching them for several days. And then he would feed the thousands. And I don't know if you have fed, you know, even a few hundred. I know that the Newmans have catered several things and cooked for youth camps and stuff. And so they know the work that is invested in feeding a few hundred or maybe a thousand or so. But Jesus took the time without all of the utensils and stuff, and he fed, amen, multiple thousands of people. And his disciples were weary, but yet he still served the people. And so that's just who that he was. And we are admonished to be like him. We learned about a God with a holy God, with holy people. And the holy God set the principle of separation. Light from day from night, light from darkness, and so on. Then we began to deal and with the whole man, because that's what holiness is. It's concerning the whole man, the entire man. We began to learn there several weeks ago that man is comprised of spirit, soul, and body. And we have broken this down. But in this lesson, we have learned that when the spirit and the soul are separated from the body, then it culminates or it equates into death. Amen. The body without the spirit and the soul is dead. And so holiness has got to be a part of the body, the spirit, and the soul. It's got to be the entire man. You cannot, amen, have body without spirit and soul. And you cannot work spirit and soul without body. It is the entire man. Praise God. And then we got into the inner man. And we learned that identity equates to the entirety of man. Such as the Pharisees. And Jesus told them, he said that you are clean on the outside. You have majored on the outside. But on the inside, you're dirty. You're like a cup that's not washed on the inside. You're like a whited sepulcher, a tombstone that's clean on the outside and it looks nice and pretty on the outside, but on the inside is full of dead man's bones. And that was the definition of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is that you can live it on the outside, but when nobody else is around, amen, when on the inside everything is dirty and wrong. And that's the definition of hypocrisy. Amen. And because that we are void of examples, there is no example of somebody being clean on the inside and being dirty on the outside. Amen. Right. You've got to be clean on the inside. Amen. You understand that Jesus did not berate the Pharisees for being clean on the outside. He told them that it was needed to be done, but they also needed to take care of the inside as well. And so the outside does matter. And we'll learn more about that tonight and even as time progresses. But the inside matters even so much the more. And so we also learn that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. That's where it all comes from, in the heart. Hebrews 12 and 14, we use that as a text tonight. We blanched off of that last week, said pursue peace or follow peace with all men and holiness. And that just simply means to pursue it. It's not by osmosis that you obtain it. It's not because that you were born again of the water and the spirit that all of a sudden you are now holy because that you have the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe that we have a portion or a part of holiness and that we are becoming. But he said, pursue holiness. In other words, hunt it down. Right. Track it. Right. Amen. Find out who God is, what God is, and seek after him and search after him and pursue after him to be more like him. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We are to pursue holiness. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 tells us that we are to perfect holiness. It is a work in progress. You can't just sit back and say, oh, I am holy. You may be holy now, but we've got to keep working on that inner man and that outer man. We are to pursue after it, and we are to perfect it, and then we are to be holy. Amen. As 1 Peter 1 and 15 said, be ye holy, for, amen, I am holy. So we pursue it, we perfect it, and we become holy. And so it is an ongoing work with inside of us. You cannot ever stop. You don't ever get to the place that you say, oh, I'm good enough. Amen. We know what that is. That's Pharisaical. That's clothed in self-righteousness. Praise God. Amen. But even as Paul would say, there is nothing good in me. Nothing. Amen. I put no confidence in this flesh. Praise God. And then last week we also went over man being comprised of spirit, soul, and body. That two-thirds of that is inner and one-third is out. Spirit and soul are inner man and body is the outer man. And so there's more emphasis put upon the inner man than the outer man. And then he said there that we are to be preserved blameless. Preserved blameless. And we talked about preserving things last week. Amen. The only way that you're going to preserve some tomatoes is you're first going to put them on the stove and you're going to have to boil some things and you have to get them to that place that you can can them, but there's impurities that's got to come out of that. Amen. And then you've got to separate it from the outside world. And when you put that lid on there and it seals it, unto the day of redemption, unto that day. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. And it's sealed, and that outside air can't get in and influence, because when that outside air gets in, then the process of deterioration begins to happen, and the process of spoiling and becoming bad begins to happen. And so we know that he said that, I pray the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, in other words, your entire spirit, not just part of your spirit, your entire soul and your entire body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Amen. And so our spirit, our soul, and our body needs to be preserved. Now, beyond that, we understand that the responsibility is ours. Everybody say, it's mine. It's yours. Your responsibility is to make sure these things happen. It's not my responsibility to stand over your shoulder, amen, with a little knocker, and every time you mess up, just doink you on the head. Amen. It's not my responsibility to sit around and have everybody send me pictures and say, is this okay or is this okay? Amen. You know what? The spirit of holiness, Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 4, the spirit of holiness, amen, will work inside of us if we are pursuing holiness and perfecting holiness and becoming holy. The spirit of holiness works on the inside of us. Praise God. Amen, amen. And so this is kind of we're going to jump into the last part of where we were last week and continue on from there. Philippians chapter number 4, verses 5 through 8 was where we kind of touched a little bit. And we're going to start right there. Philippians 4, 5 through 8.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding,
which passes all logic and all comprehensive abilities,
shall keep your hearts.
It's going to keep your heart
and mind through Christ Jesus.
Yes. Amen. And that is the peace of God is going to keep the very thing that we have been admonished about. Amen. The Bible says, as a man thinketh. We understand that in his that would be considered to the mind, but he said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now the peace of God that passes every degree of education, every doctorate, every master's course, everything, whether it's psychology, psychiatry, any field, no matter what it is, the peace of God passing all logical comprehension, amen, is able to keep our heart. I just feel like I'm getting ready to lose my mind. And in walks in the peace of God into your life. I just feel like my whole life is getting ready to cave in. And then all of a sudden the peace of God comes in. And somebody would think to themselves, and somebody would ask you, how do you have such a peace about this? I don't have an understanding. I don't have the answers to all of that. Amen. But the Bible teaches us right here that when we let our moderation be made known unto all men, and we are careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known unto God. Amen. That the peace of God steps in. I want you to know there's a lot of things that I can't do by myself. There's a lot of things that I can't overcome by myself. I'm just telling you today that life isn't always fair. The Bible said that the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. There's a lot of things in life that is not fair. And when it feels like I've been done wrong, and when it feels like I've been hung upside down and shaken everything out, when it feels like there is nothing left with inside of me, all of a sudden from out of nowhere, beyond comprehension, the peace of God steps in and it begins to keep my heart and my mind.
Yes, sir.
Oh, let's love him.
Yes,
praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I've been there and you've been there. I've been at the place that I didn't know what I was going to do. Amen. Been at the place that I'm ashamed and embarrassed to say, amen, of the things that I were that I was thinking. And somehow or another, the peace of God came in. But listen to this next verse of how that it all begins to take place. He says,
finally, brethren.
In other words, we've done all of this and now we're coming to the conclusion.
Whatsoever things are true.
Whatsoever things are true.
Whatsoever things are honest.
Honest.
Whatsoever things are just.
Just.
Whatsoever things are pure.
Pure.
Whatsoever things are lovely.
Lovely.
Whatsoever things are of a good report.
If it's of a good report.
If there be any virtue.
If there is any virtue.
Or if there be any praise.
Think
on these things.
On these things. That's my responsibility. Amen. You can't fault God and say, amen, God, you didn't come in and you didn't keep my mind and you didn't keep my heart. And he's going to say, you were thinking about things that you should not have been thinking about. Amen. Here the commandment is. He said, this is how it's all going to happen. Finally, my brethren. Amen. Whatsoever things are honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report. Amen. In other words, there's some things that the devil wants to encamp. Amen. He wants to come into my mind. And when he comes into my mind, he wants to control it. But somebody needs to stand at the door of their mind and say, not today, devil. That ain't happening today. I'm not going to be negative Nancy in all of this. I'm not going to sit around and brood over all of this. Amen. He said, whatsoever things are true and what has been happening to me is very true and it ain't very good. Hello, you need to have balance in that because it needs to be whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are of a good report. And so even though it may be true, it may not be a good report. And so that's just going to have to take the second seat for a little while. And I got to find something that's lovely. I got to find something that's pure. What can be pure in my moment of
distress. The Bible said that every word of God is pure. Hey man, I need to get back into the holy word, the holy Bible, and read, and let my mind begin to generate the thoughts of the Spirit. It doesn't happen naturally. Yeah, I said it don't happen naturally. I wished it would happen naturally. But humanity, amen, has a natural addiction, amen, to the negative. Amen. Humanity has this way that we really don't see what can be good. You've got to think about it. You've got to stop. Amen. And you got to think, whatsoever things are lovely and of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Praise God. The discipline of your thought life is what brings about the peace of God, which is going to keep your heart. I said the discipline of your thought life, your discipline of your thought life. I just feel like I'm losing my mind. What are you thinking about? The discipline of your thought life is going to bring about the peace of God to keep your heart. And how do you keep your heart? You guard your thoughts. Your thoughts are the gateway to the inner man. And if you can discipline your thoughts, you can protect your heart. But you have to do that. I don't have a super sensor. Some people have a super soaker. I don't even have one of those. But I really don't have a super sensor. Brother Gavin, you don't need to be thinking about that. That's not pure and that's not true. That's not godly. I don't have that ability. Somewhere or another, I can't read minds. Somewhere or another, you have got to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Somewhere or another, you have got to pull down imaginations. Somewhere or another, you've got to be the one that shuts it up. You're the one that's got to say, not going there today, devil. Yeah. Oh, and he loves to poke. He loves to poke it. But that's when that you've got to take in, amen, and rule from there. I got to move or we ain't ever going to be done. Praise God. And so holiness starts with the inner man. The inner man, that is the flesh. Let me just tell you something here today. The devil, I want you to listen to this. The devil was defeated at Calvary. Now, I could preach a whole lesson right here. But the devil was defeated at Calvary. Your main battle is against your flesh, not the devil.
That's right.
Think about Jesus Christ. What was his main battle against? His flesh. Wasn't the devil. As a matter of fact, when he was confronted by the devil in Matthew chapter number 4, he just simply said, it is written. It's written. But when it came to his flesh, with agony and sweat as great drops of blood, he prayed and he said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, thine will be done. Your flesh has got a whole lot more teeth than the devil does. Amen. And you need to understand that and stop blaming everything on the devil. Devil made me do it. Devil didn't make you do anything. It's your rotten carnal flesh, amen, that bows up and says, this is what I'm going to do. Amen. Praise God. We could spend a time preaching on self-discipline. Praise God. Amen. But we won't. We'll move on. Oftentimes, we go about rebuking the devil when we just simply need to get serious about our flesh having so much control over us. Amen. One time I was walking through a conference and they had all the books out there and I walked by and I said, you know what, I need to buy this book. And so I bought that book. That book is set on my shelf. I've never read it. The title just did it for me. And the title simply was, Let me find it again. Here's the title. I thought it was the devil, but it was only me.
Yep. Only need the title on that one.
That's all I needed to read.
Yeah.
I thought it was the devil, but it was only me. Amen. That is more than likely where we all are times. You have to keep your heart and mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you get this revelation, you will understand that you have to control the inner man and what the inner man is exposed to. Because whatever the inner man is exposed to, whatever you feed that inner man is what you will become. If you feed that inner man negativity, you're going to be negative. If you feed that inner man, pessimism, you're going to be a pessimist. If you feed that inner man with all kinds of carnality, you are going to be carnal. That's just the way that it is. And so you have to take control over this. And you cannot be holy if you continue to expose your inner man to unholy things. Praise God. Woo, Jesus. Now, don't get tight on me right about now, because we're going to have to talk about a few things here. Amen. So that we can have a better understanding of things. Amen. But you cannot expose your inner man to unholy things and expect your inner man to remain holy. Praise God. Now, I just want you to bear with me. Now, most of you here, you already understand this and you know that. And there's some of here that you don't understand and you may not know, but if you'll give me to the end of this lesson, I'll explain it all. So just bear with me in my folly, as Paul would say. Amen. But that's why you cannot sit around and indulge and watch television all the time and expect your inner man to stay holy. Why? Because there's nothing holy, there's nothing godly, there's nothing wholesome on that television. Amen. What is on that television? Nakedness and nakedness and nakedness and hatred and vileness and murders and adultery and killings and all of those other things. And when you sit there and you feed yourself, and yes, you do feed yourself, because the Bible says that the eye is the entrance to the heart. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if the eye, Jesus said, is full of darkness, then the heart will be full of darkness. And if the eye is full of light, then the heart will be full of light. And so it goes beyond just television. Because some of you would say, I don't have a television. But you'll sit here and you'll watch and you'll watch and you'll watch all the time the things that you condemn others for. You gotta have a balance in it somewhere or another. You gotta have a balance in it somewhere or another. I'm talking about the inner man. I'm talking about holiness. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm pursuing holiness. And the devil's stopping and saying, hey, I want you to look at this nakedness. I don't have time. I'm pursuing holiness. I want you to stop and look at this perversion. I don't have time. I'm perfecting holiness. I'm becoming holy. I didn't say self-righteous. I said I gotta be holy because I want to be like him.
Yes, sir. Oh, that's good. That's good. Very good. Very good.
Praise God.
Very good.
I'm not just asking you to take my word for it. We're going to get into it as we go through this. But this is the importance of this.
Yes.
I do not want to be a church that is all about rules and regulations. Yeah, the outer man does matter. We've already covered that so many times. He does matter. Amen. I don't care how you slice it, dice it. Don't ever tell me God doesn't care about the outer man. I'll start in Genesis and I'll take you through Revelations and I'll show you where God explicitly cares about the outer man. But it's the inner man that's going to keep the outer man in check. It's the inner man, amen, that's going to look Amen. That's why when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there were things that you began to do, and all of a sudden you just kind of felt a little check. And you're thinking to yourself, why did I just receive a check? Why did I just feel that away? Amen. That's kind of different. That's the Holy Ghost that's down on the inside of you. That's the Holy Ghost that's leading you. That's the Spirit of holiness. Amen. That's leading and guiding you. Why? God wants you to be holy. God doesn't want you to be a pervert. God doesn't want you to be carnal. God doesn't want you to be full of hatred. God doesn't want you to be full of negativism. Amen. And how does he do it? Amen. He helps us and teaches us. I'm not into rules and regulations. I want to establish a principle. And when a principle is established and you got understanding, you'll walk holy before God. You'll measure your ways before the Lord, and you will pursue and perfect holiness. Praise God. Amen. Amen. The peace of God is more important than somebody else's drama. I'm not going to sit there and just let them vomit and puke on me. I understand that as friends and pastors and ministers and stuff, we have to do that at times. But friend, if you've got a person, a friend in your life, that's all that they are. Constant, constant, constant. Can't see anything good. Just, that sounds like somebody that I don't need to be around all the time. I didn't say somebody that I don't need to be around, period. But it's somebody I don't need to be around all the time. Why? This is my spirit. This is my heart. I have to protect my spirit. I have to protect my heart. And I'm telling you, when you hang around, amen, things like that, it just begins to rub off and begins to be a part of you. Amen. Oh, Jesus, help us. Amen. A few days ago, I went out to the town dump. Amen. I went out there to El Dorado, and I dumped a bunch of stuff out there. And when you get out, you know, right before the first thing, you know, the first thing you do before you step out, you take a deep breath. And you hold your breath just as long as you can hold it. And you exit out and you begin to dump everything out, and you're burning oxygen and you're dumping and you're dumping. And finally, you know, after a while, you got to take a breath and you're like, oh, God, that stinks. And, you know, but after you've been there for about 5 or 10 minutes, you're like, you know, it ain't that bad. You know, and then you get in your vehicle and you leave and you go home. And so I went home and stuff, and I was doing some stuff. You know, I was just sitting around the house. Whatever. What is that smell? Smells like the dump. It's in my clothes. Yeah, I gotta go take a shower. I didn't get out there and wallow in it. I didn't get in there and cover up in it and just roll over like my dog does outside and all that other stuff. I didn't do anything like that. I just got out there and threw my stuff away. Minding my own business. I wasn't dumpster diving. I wasn't digging through things and trying to find somebody else's garbage, amen, to me, my treasures. I got in as quick as I could and got out as quick as I could. But it still got on me. I'm saying tonight that you cannot hang around some things and not take on that environment.
Right, right.
Praise God. Praise God. And so he said, the peace of God which passeth understanding keeps your heart and your minds, and whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report and stuff. He said, think upon these things. And that's where we like to stop. But that's where it's really just getting really good. Let's go to the next verse, Philippians 4:9.
Those things.
Those things
which ye have both learned.
We've just been talking about those things, and you've learned about them.
And received.
And now that I've preached about it, it's up to you to receive it.
And heard.
You've already heard about it.
And seen in me.
And you are seeing it act out in me.
Do.
He said, these are the things that you need to do.
And the God of peace.
And then the God of peace
shall be with you.
Shall be with you. Amen. I want peace. I want the peace that passes understanding. Amen. And here I am all troubled. And here I am all disturbed. Amen. And Paul said, all right, this is what you are going to have to do. If you want God to keep your heart and keep your mind, then you're going to have to do some things. And when you think on the things that are lovely and of a good report, and if there's virtue and if there's praise, amen, then these things can happen. He said, these things that I have just told you about, you have learned them, you've received them, you've heard them, and I just want you to know, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I'm living by the same principle. I'm not exempt from all of this. If it's good for you, it's good for me. If you need to do it, I need to do it. If you don't need to do it, I don't need to do it. I don't have a get out of jail free card. I don't have a go to pass go, amen, card. Amen. It's good for me as well. And Paul said, you've learned it, you've received it, you heard it, and you see in me. He said, now this is where the rubber meets the road. You know what it takes. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You've got to do it. You've got to put one foot in front of the other foot. You've got to make it happen. You've got to gird up the loins of your mind. You've got to decide what you're going to think about. You've got to preserve your spirit before God if you want peace in your life. Pastor, I just can't get past some things. Pastor, there's just some things I just can't get over. Like what? Well, first thing is my past. Let me just tell you something. God gave me this awesome revelation. I'm going to preach it one of these days. Now, for you, it's not such a revelation, but for me it is, because I'm not that bright. It takes me a long time to get stuff. I just can't get over some things in the past. I just can't seem to get over it. God did. I'm not saying that God got over his past. I said God got over your past. But yet here you are dragging your past. My Bible said in the book of Lamentations, it said concerning the mercies of God, that they are renewed every morning. Every morning they're renewed. You know why? Because yesterday's past. Yesterday's gone. The things that happened yesterday are behind us. That's where they need to be. And so here's what God is saying. Now this is the Cowan Amplified Translation. All right. Let's forget about yesterday and let's start over today. Oh, God, it's not that easy. I mean, if you choose to carry all that, that's fine. But I'm forgetting about it. I'm letting my mercies be renewed on you today. I had mercy for what you did yesterday. I'm okay if we don't deal with that again. Obviously, you got to repent. But that's the power of mercy. God, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I gave you a new mercy this morning. And that's why Paul can say, forgetting those things which are behind me. Woo, Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind me. You need to get a revelation of what that entails. Forgetting those things that are behind me. Number one, the things that are behind you are the past. Amen. And so if it happened at 5 o'clock today, that's still the past. If it happened yesterday, that's still the past. If it happened 10 years ago, it's certainly the past. If it happened 21 years ago, that's definitely the past. Forgetting those things which are behind me. Amen. You know what the Old Testament prophet said about God? Amen. He said it like this. He said, there are some things, amen, that God takes and he throws it over his shoulder and he puts it behind him. You know what that means? Amen. He's not going to deal with it anymore. In other words, I just forgot about it. When God puts it behind him, that means he forgot about it. If your past is behind God, it ought to be behind you. There's just some things that you need to forget. That's why Paul said, amen, forgetting those things which are behind me. Amen. The only reason that they're behind you is because you got past it. The only reason that they're behind you is because you got through it. The only reason that they're behind you is because you got over it. You say, I'm not over it. I'm not through. Then how are you here today? It's not reoccurring and happening again. And that's what the devil wants. The devil wants to pull you back into your past. But you need to be bigger than that, stronger than that, and let some things that are in your past die. Let them die. Let them die. And go on to perfection. Praise God. Amen. So, the ideal here is that some can hear it, but never learn the principle. Some can hear and learn, but never receive the principle. But Paul led by example. So learn, receive, hear, and now look it. You see me. I'm doing it. Amen. Leading by example. He said, these things do. Now you may have to stop doing some other things so that you can do the things of God. But if you really want God to help your mind, this is the key. This is the key. This is where you've got to start. It's not enough to learn to receive, hear, and see it. Somewhere or another, you're going to have to act for yourself. And you're going to have to do these things. And the only way that all of this works together is through obedience. You have to do what you learn, receive, hear, and see. Why? Because faith without works is dead. It's dead. Then the Bible says, and then. Now I know it doesn't add, that four-letter word is not in there, but the meaning is there. He said, do these things, and the God of peace. When you have done these things, the God of peace shall be with you. But God's not interested in fighting these battles again. You know, he fights one time and wins. Why has he got to go back and fight it again and again and again? He's like, look, we already fought that. We already beat that. I mean, if you want to struggle with that, that's... But you know what? We can get past all of that. Can you not understand that you are here today because you got past it? Somehow or another, you got through it. You got over it. You got past it. You may be dealing with the residuals of it. And a lot of times, as we learned a few weeks ago, you're struggling with that because you still have a hold of it. I'm just struggling. I'm just struggling. All you got to do is let go. You let go and you'll stop struggling. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to get a hold of it and struggle with it. God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free. Praise God. Amen. So, undisciplined in thought and exposure and wonder why that there is no peace of God. It takes these verses 8 and 9 to get the full peace of God. We cannot just be hearers of the Word of God, but we've got to be doers of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, beginning of verse number 4.
For the weapons of our warfare.
Oh, here's how you're going to get over it. You're going to have to pick up some weapons. This is going to get offensive. I hope you're not offended, but I hope you get offensive. The weapons of our warfare
are not carnal.
They're not carnal.
But mighty.
They're mighty.
Through God.
God knew you was going to need these weapons, and so he gave them to you because you were going to need them to get over.
To the pulling down of strongholds.
Because you're going to need to pull down some strongholds in your life.
Casting down imaginations.
Casting down things that aren't even real. But somehow or another, the devil gets into your mind and he makes situations a whole lot bigger than they really are. That is his job to do it. As a matter of fact, you go into the Bible in the book of Ezekiel chapter number 28 and you will see, amen, when we think of the devil, we're thinking of this, amen, some mighty, talking like Hercules or the Incredible Hulk type guy, you know, but with a pitchfork and a forked tail, a spear tail and two horns and stuff like that. Amen. But the Bible said that when it comes to that day and we look upon him, we're going to say, is this the one?
Yes, sir.
Is this the one that caused the nations to fall? Oh, yep, yeah. That's the one. That's the one. And he has the ability to work in your mind, creating all of these imaginations. Amen. Casting down imaginations. Destroy it. Cast it down. Read.
And every high thing.
And every high thing.
That exalteth itself.
Yes.
Against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every
thought.
To the obedience of Christ.
Every thought. Every thought. Here we are back at Philippians 4 and 8. Whatsoever things are good, pure, honest, true, just, lovely. Every thought bring into captivity. Every thought. Devil, you're not going there today. I know that you've been doing that, but we're not doing that today. Amen. Not thinking about these things today. We're bringing into captivity. It's being put into a trap. It's not being let go. Amen. It don't get to run rampant in my mind. It doesn't control my thoughts. It's not ruling my day, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
And having,
I've got, there's more that I've got to do. I'm not just bringing into captivity, but I have a readiness
to revenge
disobedience. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. We like that word revenge. Jesus, God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. But here he said, you need to have a readiness to revenge all your disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled, those things that I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Amen. Amen. I think it's 1 Corinthians 7 and 11. Amen. He began to talk about the fruit of repentance. And he said, amen, yea, what zeal, what vehement desire, what revenge. Devil, you used to rule me. You don't rule me anymore now. I'm going to take revenge. I'm going to pray. I used to cuss. I'm going to pray. I used to go run the honky-tonks. I'm going to church. I'm going to have just as much as I used to live for the devil. I'm going to turn it around. And I'm going to be even more with God.
Yeah.
When your obedience is fulfilled. Praise God. Amen. There is a mindset. There is a concept. There is a concept in today's society, and it's open-mindedness. You need to be more open-minded. Read this Bible through and tell me where that concept is there. It's not. It's not in the Bible. It's in the psychiatrist's books. It's in all of those books. Amen. But yet they have to put you on drugs to control your mind. God said, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. We just do it just like this.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. You need to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All right? So this philosophy of open-mindedness. Mm-hmm. Open-mindedness. Mm. Is it honest? Is it of a good report? Is it unholy? My mind cannot be open to these concepts.
Sure.
If it's unholy, I can't be open-minded to that. If it is, if it's not a good report, I can't be open-minded to that. I put a door on my mind, and I close it. That's what you have to do. I'm telling you, so much of living for God is one. This is crazy thinking because this is what mom and dad used to tell you all the time. You got a head? Use your head for a little bit more than a hat rack. Say, God put something in between those two ears up there. Use it, son. I'm not trying to be rude today. I'm just trying to give us some little spoonful of sugar. Helps the medicine go down. But so much of the word, so much of our life with God is one right here in our mind. Now, I know it starts in the heart. But it just comes down to you've got to make the decision. Not today, devil. Close that door. I'm still preaching about the inner man and the holy man. But that's how it's won. If I'm going to pursue holiness, if I'm going to perfect holiness, if I'm going to be holy, there's some things that I have to do. And once I stop some of these, you know, some people say, I just don't have any money. Well, you have to look at your budget and see where all your money's going. And then once you see where it's all going, you can start plugging holes. Then you can kind of keep some money. All right, well, it's the same thing, you know. You're going to have to start taking a value. You know what? That's got to go. That's got to go. That's got to go. Can't be having all that. Because this rules my mind. Rules my mind. How important is this? I'm bringing it all back around. How important really is this? Let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 27. Jesus says,
ye have heard that it was said by them of old time.
Now, Jesus says it like this. Here is Jesus, and he said, now, you have heard it was said of them of old time.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
You're not supposed to commit adultery.
But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman,
I say that if you look on a woman,
to lust after her,
and you lust after her,
hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
I didn't commit adultery. Now, I want you to, first of all, I want you to recognize what Jesus did do and what he didn't do. The first thing that he did do was he said, you have heard it of old. He said, we're not tearing that down. You heard it of old times that said, you're not to commit adultery. That still stands. We're not doing away with that. We're not doing this common law marriage stuff. We're not doing this stuff living together to see if we can, or compatible. I don't care what the government says. The government says, well, if you live with each other for 7 years, you know, you're legally married. No, you're not. That's still adultery. So he said, you've heard it said. I guess in that way it'd be fornication. But he said, you've heard it said before. And we're not doing away with that. That still stands. But I'm going to take it one step further. Because I'm going to show you where you're tripping. And where you're falling short. I'm going to show you where you're messing up. I'm going to show you where you're fighting. And you're sitting here saying, I just can't get past this. I just can't get over this. I just can't. He said, I'm going to show you where it's all coming from. It's coming from your heart because of what you're thinking. And Jesus said it like this. Now this is the Cowan Amplified translation. He said, I am going to hold you accountable for what you think. That's what he says. He said, you don't get to think about everything that you want to think about. He said, you don't get to let your imagination run wild and all of a sudden, hey man, you're sitting there looking at the television and this, hey man, half-naked woman goes prancing across and you say, woo-wee, I'm telling you what. No. You're seeing some muscle-bound hunk walk across, amen, in his Speedos or whatever, and you say, oh, yeah, no. God said, I'm going to hold you accountable. You don't get to think everything that you want to think. He said, because if you look at that woman and you lust after her, he said, I'm telling you, you have already committed adultery in your heart. So he didn't erase the things of old. He said, but I'm going to take it a step further. And he makes his position very clear. What one does concerning the inside is just as important as the outside. I didn't take her to bed. I didn't go to bed with him. Jesus said, it doesn't matter. I'm holding you accountable for what you think. Now, the general world and the general population, they don't want to hear that. Oh, no. Oh, no. But it doesn't matter. This is what Jesus said. Are we trying to go to heaven or Hollywood? This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. That's why you don't need to be looking at pornography. There's a lot of reasons why you don't need to be looking at pornography. But this is part of it. Amen. You don't get to just look at pornography and look at naked people. Amen. And all this. Why do you want to do that? You're fulfilling the desires of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Amen. I heard a man say one time, I'm just beholding the beauty of God's creation. Hogwash. Amen. There ain't no such thing as that right there. Amen. There is a purpose and a reason, and that's why you've got to stop it. That's why you've got to abstain from it. That's why you've got to quit it. Why? Because there is an inner man that is suffering from that. You say, oh, I'm not suffering at all. Amen. You may not be suffering today, but friend, God is holding you accountable for things that you think. That's not my word, that's His word. You can't let your imaginations run wild. You can't do that. So the inner man commits the sin. If the inner man commits the sin, it doesn't matter if the outer man carries it out. The inner man is held accountable. You need to be careful what you think. You need to cast down every imagination and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience, because God is still going to hold you accountable for it. Amen. You may avoid judgment of man by withholding the actions of the outer man, but God is going to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible said that every thought is going to be brought up in judgment. My God, amen, how are some people going to stand before God, amen, outside of shame, amen, when He brings up every thought, amen, they're going to be sitting there shame. I can't believe I'm being held accountable for what those things is. And man, other people would be looking, I know it's not going to be this way, but other people be looking around, my Lord, he's thinking about all of those things. I thought that he was a good individual. Now every thought is going to be brought up in judgment. You've got to bring into captivity. You've got to cast down every imagination, because God said, I'm going to hold you accountable for it. Amen. You may fool man by the outward appearance, but you will never fool God. Amen. Because He sees the inner man. He sees the heart. He knows, amen, what's going on. He has your number. Let me just stop right there and let me just state this. Praise God. Oh, I want to be careful how I state this. Amen. But nevertheless, it's true. Amen. There is a movement that's going around talking about this open-minded stuff. You can think about things, but as long as you don't carry it out, then you're not held accountable for all of these things. Let me just tell you something. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. You cannot be a boy, amen, and just think about homosexual relations with some other man. Amen. And never go commit that and marry a woman. Amen. God's going to hold you accountable for that if you don't repent of that. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You may not be that today. You may not be that tomorrow. But friend, the devil knows what he's doing with you, and he's slowly pulling you to that place. You cannot be a woman and think about intimacy with another woman and think, well, I'll never carry it out. God is going to hold you accountable for these things. Amen. You've got to bring into captivity. Praise God. Amen. Let's go in the opposite direction. It's not really the opposite direction, but let's take another spoke of the wheel. Did I put on there Mark 11 and 25?
Yes, sir. Read. And when you stand praying.
When you stand praying.
Forgive.
Whoa. Forgive. When you have aught in your heart against your brother. When you have aught in your heart against your sister. Amen. And you can sit there and smile at them, amen, and pat them on the back and all those other things. But yet there's stuff that's on the inside of your heart. God is going to hold us accountable. Amen. When you can tell somebody you're the greatest thing since Swiss cheese, amen, and then get on the telephone, amen, and be gossiping and running them down and stabbing them in the back and all that other stuff, God is going to hold you just as accountable as he holds the one that's in adultery just from the heart. It matters what we allow in our heart. It matters where we stay and camp out in our mind. We've got to make sure. Amen. And so God says, here's your answer. Amen. When you stand praying, you need to learn to forgive. Forgive. If you have aught against any, amen, your heavenly Father, amen, is going to hold it against you. He's not going to forgive you until you learn how to forgive. Oh, I want to be ready to forgive. I want to be ready to forgive. I understand that there are those that have done me wrong, and I know that there are those that have done you wrong, but oh God, give us a forgiving spirit that no matter what has happened. I was talking with Brother Chuck about this last night. Amen. And the Newmans are going through something, and some people may say, oh, that's just nothing. Amen. I obviously know you haven't had any pets. Amen. Because there's something about it that'll just about kill you. Amen. But when somebody does something like this, you want to take vengeance out. But Brother Chuck came and told me, he said, I had to come pray today because I'm not going to go to hell over having bitterness and unforgiveness about somebody that done something like that. Amen. That's the way that we all need to be. I want to be so sensitive. I want to be so pure. I want to be so pursuant of holiness and perfecting holiness and being holy that I say, God, I forgive.
Praise God. I got to move. God cares about the inside man. Amen. This isn't all about your social appearance or just your outward appearance, but it is, be ye holy, for I am holy. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 29.
If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out.
He said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out.
And cast it from thee.
Cast it out.
For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell.
Oh. Oh. He said, if your eye offends you, if your eye trips you up, you ought to pluck it out and cast it away. I heard somebody tell me one time, he said, well, hey man, Jesus is talking about the body. And if there is a member that is offensive of the body, then they need to be plucked out and cast out. And he was talking about the church. And he was saying that if there are people in the church and they're offensive, then the best thing to do is just kick them out of the church. Let me just tell you, if you get kicked out of the church, it's going to be hard to be saved.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
I thought we was in the saving business.
Yeah.
Amen. But when I read that verse in context, I don't find anything about that concerning the church, the body. Amen. He's talking about, amen, this is a one-to-one deal. Yeah. Amen. He is literally saying, if your eye offends you, if you can't get rid of pornography, it would be best that you just take a spoon and pluck your eyes out so that you never see it again.
Right.
But then you got to bring into captivity every thought, and you're still going to have to cast down imaginations. So why don't you just get right with God and stay with two eyes? Amen. Is that it?
If thy right hand offend thee.
He said, if your hand offends you.
Cut it off.
Cut it off.
And cast it from thee.
Cast it out.
For it is profitable for thee.
Oh yeah, it's profitable.
That one of thy members should
perish.
You'll
be better off.
And not thy whole body.
Amen. If you did this, amen, your whole body, amen, would be saved rather than, amen, your whole body would be lost rather than just part of it, amen, being saved. Amen. He said, this is how important it is. People look and they point their finger and they say, oh, you guys over there on 12th Street and Henry, you're overdoing it. I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find overdoing it. But I find that I'm supposed to be pursuing, perfecting, and becoming. I find that there's
there's a lot of things that God's going to hold me accountable for that this world out there thinks nothing of. They don't have a problem thinking about your wife and having unholy thoughts about her. They don't have a problem thinking about your husband and what they would do with him and talking about their... They don't have a problem with that. And then they go around calling themselves a Christian. God looks down upon it in disdain and says it isn't right. And the world says, you're judging. I'm going there here in just a moment. You're judging. God never condemned judging. He just put some extras on with it. But we'll get there. We got to hurry. So let's just skip. So how are you going to guard your thoughts? You're going to have to keep your eyes. How are you going to protect your thoughts? You got to keep it from your ears. You're going to have to keep. You're going to have to watch. You're going to have to be careful. Praise God. Amen. Let's move on. Let's try to finish this out. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 18.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Now, what of God is revealed? He said the wrath of God is revealed. There's something that you need to understand. There is a difference between wrath and anger. Wrath is an action. Anger is an emotion. God will act out upon you because he's angry with you. Not God. God's love. This is what he says. Said the wrath of God is revealed. Nobody wants to talk about this. No, God just loves everybody. God just loves everything. I believe that God loves everybody. But God does not love everything.
Right.
God hates sin.
Right. Yes.
As a matter of fact, if you get your Bible and you go to the book of Proverbs, you'll see that there were 6 things that he hates, and yea, a 7th was an abomination. God hates some things. And so he said, the wrath of God. Anger's the emotion. Wrath is an action. But there are some things that make God so angry that he takes action. Nobody wants to preach about this. Nobody wants to talk about this. No. God loves you however that you are. That's not what I read in the Bible. I understand for God so loved the world. And I understand that God is love. And there are some things that we cannot get past. God is that. But right here, he says, there are some things that make God so angry that he takes action against it. Think about it. Jesus walked into the temple and he saw them changing, money changing and stuff. You want to talk about premeditated wrath? Because the Bible said he stepped outside and he wove a whip together. That's what it says. Said he wove a whip together. He didn't go pick one up. He didn't go in there and buy one at the money changer's table. He wove one together. Thinking about it the whole time. And then he took that. And the anger of God created wrath. And he walked into that place and he drove them out. He turned over their tables. He kicked over tables. He drove them out with that whip. And when he was said and done, he said, it's written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. This is an example of wrath and anger. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all. How much is all? That's everything. Against all ungodliness. If it's ungodly, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. If it's unrighteous, the wrath of God is going to be revealed. He said, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men holding the truth in unrighteousness. I'm just telling you something. There's something that, amen, that makes God just a little bit angry. Amen. There's something that makes him more angry than a lot of things. And that is when a man of God can hold the truth in unrighteousness. Amen. You want to talk about getting the ire of God up. Amen. This is when it happens. When they twist the scripture. When they just simply say, no, we're not supposed to judge. Amen. Paul said, I'm not even there and I've judged some things. Don't you know that one of these days you're going to judge angels? How come you can't judge some things? He said, I've judged it. Kick the fornicator out. Not in today's church. We want to keep the fornicator. And that's why the church is full of fornication. Now, I think you can understand what I'm saying, because we've already discussed all of this. The answer is come to an altar and repent. We're not saying he's a fornicator, so we're cutting the hand off and casting out, plucking the eyeball out and casting it out and stuff like that. No. Galatians 6, ye who are spiritual, try to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That's taking it into context. That's whole Bible. That's not just taking one scripture and pulling it out. That's whole Bible right there, okay? Well, let's look at some of these things, and we're going to hurry through this. Romans chapter number 1, verse 19. He starts off after 18, and he says,
because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations.
All right, now, we've already talked about this word before. Here's that word again, imaginations. Uh-huh. And he said this is what happened. They became vain in their imaginations,
and their foolish heart was darkened.
And lo and behold, their heart was affected.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's what he said. He said they became vain in their imaginations, and because that they did not cast down imaginations, he said their foolish heart was darkened. Their imaginations, the etymology of that word simply means to create an image that you fantasize about and maybe even become. Imaginations and heart is the inner man. So here we're dealing with the inner man, and he said, this is what's going to get the ire of God up. This is why that the wrath of God is going to be revealed. Now he's going to give us some examples. Read.
Professing themselves to be wise.
He said, now here's what they started off with. Professing themselves to be wise.
They became fools.
They became fools.
And changed the glory of the incorruptible God.
Here it is. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God
into the image made like to corruptible man.
Idolatry.
To birds.
Yes.
Four-footed beasts.
Uh-huh.
And creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts.
Oh, here we go again. Now we're talking about that heart again. He said, wherefore? He said, because that they did all of this, 2 + 2 = 4. He said, because that they did all of this, it equals to, amen, God giving them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. You cannot do some of these things and keep your heart pure. This is where it's all. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Read.
To dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
They dishonor their own bodies between themselves, and this is how they did it.
Who changed the truth of God into a lie.
Uh-oh, you mean that there was a truth? Somebody says, oh no, this is the way that God made me. This is not the way that God made you. This is what God said.
And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Uh-huh.
For this cause.
For this cause. Now we're going to get down to business. For this cause.
God gave them up to vile affections.
God said it's vile.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another.
This is called homosexuality, lesbianism. The world, amen, hates this. They don't want the church to preach about this. Amen. They want to blur the lines. They want the church to accept it. I'm just telling you, God will never accept it. Amen. You're in a church today that is going to preach this. Amen. Until the rapture takes place. Amen. If this irks you, if this embarrasses you, if this makes you nervous, amen, then probably this isn't going to be a good place. Hallelujah. I'm not pointing this towards anybody. This is good for me as well. I don't ever, ever, ever need to become comfortable, amen, with these things. Amen. He said, God gave him up to vile affections. You say, how did all of this happen? Amen. Did somebody just wake up someday and say, I'm a boy and I think that I like a boy? No. God gave them up to vile affections. You know what is happening? They kept pushing and kept pushing and kept pushing and kept pushing, and they kept stretching the lines, and they kept getting their hands slapped, and they got their hands on the desk and the teacher slapped it, and they kept pushing and they kept pushing, and finally God gave them over to the idols of their heart and said, if that's what you want, I'm going to turn you over to it. It doesn't make it right, but there you go. And now you have women burning in their bodies one to another. Men in their body, amen, burning in their lust one to another. Read.
Men with men, working with that men. Which is unseemly.
Oh!
And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge.
Oh, no, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, some of them will say, God made us like this. Amen. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge because that's not who God is. They have redefined God. They don't, and others don't want God anywhere. Leave me alone. Leave the church alone. They want the church to leave them alone, but then they wanted to come into the church, and they want the church, amen, to do that. Hey. If that's the way that you want to live, go live that away. But in the church, and the ones that are on their way to heaven, we've got a walk to walk. It's called the highway of holiness, and this is what we've got to follow.
Yes.
Read.
God gave them over to a reprobate mind.
Oh, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That means void of judgment. In other words, they don't possess the capacity to judge between right and wrong. That's why they can be men with men and women with women. Amen. They don't possess the capacity, amen, to discern that it's right or that it's wrong any longer. Read.
To do those things which are not convenient.
He said they're not convenient.
Being filled with all unrighteousness.
Oh, stop. I don't have to explain myself, but I want you to just think about that. I understand we've got kids in here.
Not convenient.
He said it's not convenient.
No, sir. Absolutely not.
You don't have the right parts.
That's right.
It's not convenient. You've got to go completely outside of all the things that God made to make this happen.
Yep.
It's not convenient. Read.
Nope. Being filled with all unrighteousness.
Filled with unrighteousness.
Fornication.
Fornication, he said.
Wickedness.
Wickedness.
Covetousness.
I didn't say this. God said this.
Maliciousness.
Maliciousness.
Full of envy.
Full of envy.
Murder.
Murder.
Debate.
Debate.
Deceit.
Deceit.
Malignity.
Malignity.
Whispers.
Whispers.
Backbiters.
Backbiters.
Haters of God.
Haters of God.
Despiteful.
Despiteful.
Proud.
Proud.
Boasters.
Boasters.
Inventors of evil things.
Inventors of evil things.
Disobedient to parents.
Ooh. Read.
Without understanding.
Without understanding.
Covenant breakers.
Covenant breakers.
Without natural
without
affection.
Without natural affection.
Implacable.
Implacable.
In unmerciful.
Unmerciful.
Who knowing the judgment of God.
They knew the judgments of God.
That they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to wrap this up as quick as I can. I know it's the, you think it's the midnight hour, but it's not. But I told you I would get there, and I want to explain it to you. All of those things that he just said, wickedness, maliciousness, backbiters, gossipers, haters of God, inventors of evil things, all of those things, He said, not only did they know that those who do these things. He said, not only did they know that they are going to get the judgment of God upon them. He said, it's not just them that do the wickedness. It's not just them that do the murders. It's not just them that commit fornication. It's not just them that gossip and backbite. It's not just them that, he said, but it's also those who take pleasure in those that do them. That's what he says. God says, I'm not only going to hold these people that do these things accountable, but if you think that's funny, and if you take pleasure in that, and you use that for Saturday night entertainment, Monday night entertainment, I'm going to hold you accountable for it too. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. He said, not only those that do them, but also those that take pleasure in them that do them. You know, it used to be back in the day and age that I remember growing up and they had those soap operas, As the World Turns. And I don't even remember all the rest of them. That's the only one I remember, As the World Turns. Somebody said, As My Stomach Churns. But what, and grandma and all those other people's like, oh, I got to find out. I'm not going to be able to be there, and so I'm going to record it. And they record it, and they come back, and they watch it, and then progression is happening. Now you don't have to record it. You can go back, and you can view it and stuff, and you can stay up on it and stuff. And Ken left Barbie, and he's with this one. And oh, my goodness, I knew that was going to happen. And they're sneaking off in the closet. And got a lip lock going on. And in comes the husband and stuff. There's a fight. Yeah, things are broke. And somebody pulls a gun and shoots him.
Yeah.
Oh, no! He can't die! That never appealed to me. Oh, but the A-team did. Dun, 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 dun. There's Mr. T with all of his gold chains on him. Come here, dude. Boom. And Murdoch's over there fusing up a bomb. And Face is over there sweet-talking the sweet little thing. And Hannibal's over there making the plans. And here's four of Grandma's little grandkids. Miami Vice. Magnum PI. Oh. I remember going to Grandma's house, you know, and watching stuff like Gentle Ben. They call him Flipper, Flipper. Such innocence, huh? But they knew where they were taking you. They knew where they were taking you. And several years ago, what did they start doing? They splashed that little funny boy in your soap opera. And when they splashed that little funny boy, that homosexual, everybody was offended. Ugh! But you know what? He was the fun of the party. He's the one that had all the jokes. They made him so funny and so likable. And then, you know, and there was all the characters and they were embracing him and all that other stuff. And all of a sudden they just drew you right in. And now all of a sudden you don't have a problem with it. Then they introduce you to his partner. And then they start splashing here a little bit and there a little bit. And now it's everywhere. Because they knew what they were doing. Drawing you in. Here a little and there a little. And the Bible says, not only those that do those things, but they that have pleasure in those that do those things. You wouldn't let some couple come into your house and have an immoral affair on your couch while you sat there and watched. But yet so many people will watch that very thing and have pleasure. I had a man say, Pastor, I don't have a television. But you couldn't get him off of his computer. He watched hour after hour after hour after hour. I think that's more dangerous. I think it's more dangerous. Because grandma's four little grandkids sitting there watching the A-team. In 30 minutes it was over. And we all walked home. That don't happen like that on computer and other stuff. You can watch episode and episode and episode and hour after hour after hour. Those that have pleasure and those that do. You say, Preacher, isn't that judging? Let's go one more place as we stand here tonight. Romans chapter number 2.
Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man.
He said, alright, this is what it's all coming down to.
Whosoever thou art that judgest.
You're inexcusable, O man, whosoever art thou that judgest.
For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself.
You condemn yourself.
For thou that judgest dost the same things.
You that judge do the same. You understand that he didn't say, stop judging. He just said, you're inexcusable. When you'll judge somebody for this, and you got this, and you're doing the same thing. That's what the world says. The world says, stop judging. That's not what the Bible says. God is going to judge. The Bible judges. That's why they say stop judging, because the Bible condemns them. Stop judging. He said, no. Paul said, there's some things that you got to judge. And he said, you're inexcusable when you judge somebody for what they do, and yet you're over here doing this. Right's right, wrong's wrong. Doesn't matter who's doing it. You know, there's such a desire within me to be holy. Not self-righteous. I don't have a desire to be self-righteous. But I do want my heart to be tender before God. It's like, God, do you like this? And if I feel God say, I don't like that. Well, God, give me book, chapter, and verse. I want to be tender-hearted. You know why? Paul said, there's no good thing in me. He said, I put no confidence in the flesh. There's no good thing in me. I'm very vulnerable. I'm susceptible to mess up. Except by the grace of God. So every morning when I wake up and begin to pray, it's like, God, grant me the grace that I need to today, to go through today. That does not mean that I'm perfect. But what this does is when I get to that door and I start to push on that door, I feel the resistance of it. And God's like, if you continue to push on that, God's not going to make you. Well, I mean, I walked into the bar and I ordered a beer and I said, it's going to sit right here and I'm not going to drink it. God's not going to make you not do it. But when you put yourself in that environment, you're going to fall. You're going to falter. And so we go back to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This isn't a stand up and beat my chest and say, we're more conservative than you or we're better than you. That has nothing to do with that. What this has to do with is my inner man, that is the control panel to my life, has got to be protected. And it's going to start with my thoughts, which is into my heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so I'm going to keep my heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart proceeds fornications and murders and thefts and envy and all this. So I've got to keep my heart. And what affects my heart? As a man thinketh in his heart. It's all connected. There's a gateway, a pathway there. And so what do I got to do? I got to pull down imaginations. I got to bring into captivity every thought. Because I'm preserving my spirit, my soul, and my body. Preserving it. Preserving it. Keeping it holy from the ungodliness of the world. Amen. Several years ago, I had a preacher sit across the desk from me, and he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, don't think any less of me. He said, but why do we preach and take a stand against television? I thought that that was a very, number one, it's a very important question. But I thought, wow. It's very obvious this man's never had any teaching. He's never had any teaching. Pastoring a church, Brother Wirths. He's never had any teaching. You know what he had? He had a pastor that says, we don't do this. I could finish this entire holiness series in maybe 1 or 2 weeks. But that's not the way I choose to do it. I want you to understand the principle of why. I'm guarding my inner man. I'm guarding my thought. I'm keeping my heart. I'm preserving my spirit, my soul, my body. God's not just interested in the outside. He's interested on the inside. If it's on the inside, it'll manifest itself on the outside. If it's on the outside and not the inside, I'm a hypocrite. I got to understand all of this. And then I cannot just hear, see, learn. I've got to do. It's my responsibility. I've got to do these things. It would do you no good for me to preach 25 weeks on this. And you're like, whoa, I got it. And then you just go do whatever you want to do. And then you come back and you're like, I'm struggling. What are you thinking about? Well, we don't want to talk about that. Well, that's probably the problem. But when we establish the principle, we have something to stand on. And that way, when you go to school and somebody says, well, why don't you do this? My preacher preaches against it. I cringe. That doesn't need to be the answer ever. Ever. My church preaches. Now, that don't need to be the answer either. We understand the principle of it. We get it. It's a relationship with God. Because the devil is not interested in playing checkers. He wants your soul. And so I'm pursuing perfecting and becoming holy. Amen. I know I've went long here tonight, but I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that's just got a few things to lay on an altar, that's got just a little bit of time to say, I need to put this down in my spirit. Come on, some of us older ones, we had wanted to be in bed by 9 o'clock. Some of you younger ones, you wouldn't have been in bed by midnight. But this is what's most important. Maybe there's some things that you don't understand. Maybe there's some things that, it's like, well, I know we don't do this, but I don't know why. I'm just telling you that I can cover those things in a heartbeat. I can cover those things quickly. But if you understand the principle, if the principle is established, I don't even have to say what. You'll just immediately begin to see things just simply because the principle is there. Maybe God has opened up some enlightenment to you and you've been feeling, I've just been struggling. I've been struggling. I don't know why I'm struggling. I just can't seem to get past this. But tonight, I'm understanding. And that's because I'm always going back there thinking about it. That's why it's important. There's some things that you just don't need to have. Numbers in your phone that you need to get rid of. And yes, there are people in your life that you don't need to hang around with. Why? Because every time that you get around them, they're perverted. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet, they're perverted. Everything they talk about is perverted. I don't hate them. I want to be around them. I do. I've had this conversation with family members. And I've had family members come back to me and apologize. Hey, I'm sorry. I told them, I said, well, it's your house. You can do what you want to do. I just don't have to come. They're like, no, I want you to come. You're a part of the family. I want you to come. And so I apologize. And we move on. But you understand, I'm not trying to be holier than thou. I'm just trying to keep my heart. I'm trying to keep my mind. That's my responsibility. I've got to do it. You may say, well, I'm okay with that. I just feel some kickback there. You say, well, I'm okay with that. I mean, it doesn't affect me. God's not okay with it. That's the issue. God's not okay with it. God said, I'm going to hold you accountable. If you think those things, I'm going to hold you accountable for it. That's so mean, preacher. That's not me. That's not me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you think, you did it. Jesus said, if you take pleasure in the wickedness that they're doing, you're going to be held accountable too. And if you need a little bit more, let me give you a little bit more. Job said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. David said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Lamentation says, the eye affects the heart. Jesus said, if your eye be full of darkness, wickedness, murders, envy, gossip, back, if your eye be full of darkness, your heart will be full of darkness. And how dark that will be. He said, but if your eye is full of light, then your heart's going to be full of light. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I'm not just Romans 1 and 32. I'm Old Testament Job. I'm Old Testament Psalms and David. I'm New Testament Jesus. I'm New Testament Jesus. I'm New Testament Paul. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Oh, thank you, Jesus.